Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Renee James.
Les Watts is an organization specifically focused around data center power management on Linux operating systems.
There is certainly a tremendous amount of activity going on. We see this huge growth in digital communities. So the question is another revolution about to happen?
Welcome to Chip Chat. We're joining you from the Moscone Center in San Francisco from the Intel Developer Forum. It's day three at IDF. I'm Allison Klein, and once again, I'm joined by Bird McDonald. Hey, Bird.
Hey, Allison. So we heard some interesting keynotes this morning. We had Renee James talking about software, and we had Justin Ratner talking about 3D web and where that's going. We also had Justin in the studio a couple days ago, so we'll touch on that a little bit later in the show. So in Renee's keynote today, she made an interesting announcement about a new initiative called Les Watts. What is Les Watts?
That's right, Bird. Renee announced a new program around energy efficiency for the software community. In fact, it's a follow-on to much of the work that we've been talking about on Chip Chat, from our announcements on lead-free and halogen-free and our fab processes. We've had Lori Weigel talking about the Climate Savers Initiative, which is really our lead initiative at Intel in terms of driving energy efficiency, both from a standpoint of the computing industry and from our customers. And really, Les Watts is a follow-on to that, where we're addressing the software community and asking them to innovate in the development of writing code in a more efficient manner.
What are some of the main takeaways for you this year? What have we learned at IDF?
Well, first, we really took a look back and looked at our history with the interview with Gordon Moore. To me, personally, that was the highlight of the event. And Gordon gave us some perspective on the founding of Silicon Valley, the founding of Intel, how integrated circuits were first created, the lucky and smart decisions that were made along the way that created Intel into the company that it is today.
We heard quite a bit about silicon technology, a lot of announcements, 32 nanometer, 45 nanometer, Nehalem. Tell us a little bit about what you learned there.
You know, we talked about Penryn everywhere. 45 nanometer Penryn will be coming out in November, starting on server and desktop platforms and delivered across all of our platforms as we move forward. We saw the first demonstration of Nehalem, a very cool demonstration of Nehalem actually talking to Paul Otellini on stage. And then we saw the first 32 nanometer SRAM. So we know that the future in technology in terms of our microprocessor design is very healthy, and the TikTok model survives.
What about mobility? We talked a lot about mobility yesterday. What are your final summations about where we're going in that direction?
What I got out of the mobility discussion was the way we use computers as users is changing, and it's becoming a much more interactive experience as we move from the 2D web to the 3D web. Everyone wants to be able to be connected all the time, and mobile devices have to change. The mobile internet device will revolutionize the way people use computers, creating the full PC experience in something that fits into the palm of your hand.
So, Allison, you had an opportunity to interview Justin Ratner the other day. That was really cool, really interesting stuff there. What did we learn?
Well, Justin did his keynote on the 3D web today, and it was a pretty compelling keynote. And we did get a little bit of time with him in the studio to talk about the 3D web and where he saw the opportunity. Where do we see the 3D web evolving in terms of applications and different things that would expand the user experience?
The 2D web experience is surprisingly private. You know, when you're viewing a page, you feel like you're the only one viewing that page. You're really not aware of who else is viewing that page. The 3D web is almost inherently a community idea that you're in some kind of virtual world that is populated with other avatars representing other people. And, you know, you can choose to be apart. You can choose to be in groups. You can, choose to remain anonymous or to be well known. So I think it's a dramatically different social dynamic.
TerraScale was something that we saw a lot of demos on the tech showcase floor. We had a couple interviews this week about TerraScale. Tell us about what we're doing in that direction.
Well, TerraScale really is our primary research focus in terms of where we take microprocessors in the future. And it's really just the natural evolution of where we're going from single core to multi-core. Ultimately, what you come up with is hundreds of cores. And the complexity of designing a microprocessor, which can be interconnected so that each core can talk to each other in an efficient manner, is one of the challenges. The other is, how do we get the software industry to program to hundreds of cores so it can take advantage of this amazing performance capability.
What is Intel doing in that regard? Are there outreach programs? Is Intel listening and working with the software vendors?
Well, I think the important thing to think about is that TerraScale is a research program right now. We don't have any time frame for when TerraScale products will be available in the marketplace, but we certainly are doing a lot, and Renee talked about this in her speech, about working with the industry on delivering the true value of multi-core processors and developing parallel applications. That's the start of it. And if we can get the industry to move forward with multi-core, then the transition to TerraScale will be evolutionary and not revolutionary.
Servers, what's the update?
We saw great performance demos on our next generation Xeon 5400 series. We saw some great demonstrations of the capabilities of the 7300 series, which is really a platform designed for virtualization environments and the optimal platform for those environments. And then we saw some cool things on Itanium and had a lot of the Itanium OEMs demonstrating their next generation Itanium platforms for our processor called Montvale. I also think that we saw that data centers are now being delivered pre-configured. Sun showed off its black box technology, which is the first technology to deliver a fully configured data center environment to customers. And then we had Rackable here with its semi that we talked about earlier this week, the Ice Cube.
I think that's a
really interesting innovation.
Yeah. Did you get a chance to go in the Ice Cube, or were you too busy talking?
I did talk to the people who were in the Ice Cube. I never got to the Ice Cube.
It was too much to do at IDF.
IDF, basically, if you put it out on a linear structure, it would probably be a few months of activities.
We haven't talked a lot about test technologies, but it's something that has been, you know, a theme here. What have we learned about that space?
Well, the testing vendors were out in full force on the showcase floor. We saw a lot of analyzers, of oscilloscopes. We saw eye diagrams. This is as geeky as it gets. But it's also the most critical equipment in terms of ensuring that as we make technology transitions, when we transition to QuickPath, when we transition to PCI Express 2.0, these are the very tools that allow our industry to ensure that they're designing their products properly and that they're actually going to work when they're plugged into platforms.
In the tech showcase, there were a lot of vendors showing off a lot of different cabling technologies, a lot of interconnect technologies. Tell me what we learned there.
Well, cabling is probably not the sexiest area of the industry, but it's definitely important. And there were two notable technologies that I saw on the show floor. The first one was Intel's own optical cables that they're delivering 10 gigabit speeds in the data center. The real innovation is taking optical down to an affordable price point, and that's something that the Intel team has been able to do. The second thing we saw was a company showing off 10 gigabit on Cat 6 cabling. And by delivering 10 gigabit on Cat 6, that means that data center managers can utilize existing cabling infrastructures to migrate from 1 gigabit to 10 gigabit speed.
So, Allison, next week we're back to our normal once-a-week syndication, and we have Margaret Lebrecht talking about WiMAX. That'll be an interesting interview.
That's right. I think we've talked a lot about mobility at IDF, and really what we're going to do with Margaret is really get into the details of WiMAX and where that technology is going. Thank you for joining us for another special edition of Chip Chat from IDF. Please tune in weekly to hear interviews with Intel's leading technologists about technologies that the industry is focused on today.